You all right. Well, I'm going to try this one. Then we're going to get into the message. So we go get us something to eat. Amen. And Cole says she's always so thankful for when we do a dinner like this, but she ain't got to wait the last to eat.
Than to live in this world.
pray. And I know my poor soul was saved. Then to live in this world in a house of gold. Sorry about that,
man.
Amen. She said she's fine. So God. Luke 15. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for everything y'all done for Cole, G-Mob. We do appreciate it. And we love y'all in the Lord. Amen. Y'all family. And we do appreciate everything you do for us. Luke, the 15th chapter. I want to look this morning at the prodigal's homecoming, amen. Special chapter in the scripture that means a lot to a lot of people. We'll look at verse number 11, and it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger one of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with rigorous living." Amen. I've been there before. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fainted, have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." I like this right here, and it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him. And he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am I no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard the music and the dancing, and he was called, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fattest calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgresseth I that at any time thy commanding. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which he had devoured thy living with harlots, that thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen.
Our gracious and Father, Lord, we're just thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy. We're thankful for the wonderful singing, the great fellowship that we've had here. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you touch, to me, the most important part of the entire service, the preaching of the Word of God. Father, I ask that you behind me, behind thy cross, that they might not see a man, but they'll see you high and lifted up. Father, we ask you, dear Lord, if you'll just touch the souls here this morning. And Father, there's one in the sound of my voice that's not saved by your marvelous grace. Father, I ask that you put them under a Holy Ghost conviction and save them before it's eternally too late. Father, I also ask, dear Lord, if there's one sitting under the sound of my voice that's living out in a far country, that's gone astray from the straight and narrow, Father, I ask, dear Lord, that you'll just place your healing hand upon them and allow them to realize what the prodigal son realized, that he is nothing without you. Father, we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. What a parable, right? When you read this parable of the prodigal son, you should no doubtably see yourself somewhere within it. Whether you was the one that went out and decided to live that life of sin. Now the prodigal son here, I want you to know, I do not believe is lost when he goes out to the far country. If you look, you see he already knows who the father is. But when he's sitting there, he gets the portions of his goods. And you remember the older brother always gets more than the younger brother. And he takes it and he goes out and he lives with harlots and he lives it up. And he thinks he's living his best life. And just like in our life, something happens. A famine takes place. The blessings of God has been suspended from you at that time. And you start eating with the swine. And you start living it up. And you just get down. I said, I love that verse. And when he came to himself.
Amen.
Church, sometimes we got to come into ourselves. It can't be somebody talking to us and telling us all the time. The prodigal son didn't realize this because he was sitting there being preached at, or because he was sitting there being fussed at. He realized this on his own, that he was doing wrong. Sometimes you have to realize in your own life that what you're doing is wrong. It's not always going to be somebody pointing a finger at you telling you that you're wrong. If you're spiritually, if you're saved by the grace of God, one day the Holy Spirit's going to come by and he's going to place it on your heart saying, hey, you're wrong. You're living the wrong lifestyle. It's time for you to change. It's time for you to do something different. You're not supposed to be down here eating with the swine, but yet here you are living in the lowest captivity of sin that you can live in.
Amen.
But you got to now come unto yourself. He had to come into his senses. How many of us today just really need to realize we need to come into our senses? We always think that the world is after us, and or maybe the world can be better off for us. But in reality, if you want to live worldly, you'll end up eating with the swine. You know, coming to your senses, Brother Eddie, means a whole lot more
when the Holy Spirit makes it come into your senses. This is what the prodigal said. He said, how many hired servants, amen, are in my father's house that have enough bread to share with me? But yet here I'm sitting here hungry. I ain't got nothing to eat. I'm trying to eat the husk with the swines. Well, Paul says over in Romans, he says, and that knowing the time, that is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, I believe Paul wrote that because most Christians end up going off of the straight and narrow path, and they end up thinking that they just want that portion of good stuff that only they can have, and end up running wild and running rampant, and they end up coming to their senses and they have to finally wake up. You know, churches, just like many of us, when most of us have lived a life that God would truly disapprove of. And one day you came to your senses and you realized that you couldn't do this on your own. You had to become clean. You had to awaken. You had to be born again. Because your salvation now means more to you than it did when you was first born again. When you get out there and live in a country, in a far land, and you don't really understand what's going on, and God's still blessing you, and one day He cuts you off from those blessings, and all of a sudden you're down on your knees, and you're eating with the swine, you have nowhere else to go. And then one day He puts it on your heart to come unto yourself and realize that you're living a wrong life, that you're living a sinful life, that you need help. That you can't get it from your friends that are around you. You can't get it from the people around you. It's got to come from the Father. And He puts it on your heart to get up out of the dirt, to get out of the swine pen, and come to Him. But we got to come to our senses. You can't do that on your own.
Amen.
You can't clean yourself up on your own.
Amen. That's right.
He was sitting in the swine. He got to thinking about... He got to think about that dad back at home, amen, that gave him everything that was his in his life. And he done spent it all. He done ruined everything. And he didn't have anything left with him. And he just knew that he was going to be all right. And he just found out he wasn't all right no more. He had to realize something. You can't make it without God.
That's right.
He couldn't make it without the Father. He was literally starving to death. If God cuts us off from His blessings, we'll starve to death.
Right.
We'll fall down. But He said, I got to become clean. He said, I will arise. Church, He didn't say, somebody's going to help pick me up. He said, I. That means me and you today. That means we have to make this decision on our own. Rocky can't make the decision for Amy. I can't make the decision for Cole. Cole can't make the decision for me. Amy can't. She might think she can, but she can't make the decision for Rocky. But we live this life that we have to willingly to be doing do it ourselves. He said, I will arise. He said, I will go to my Father. He said, I will say unto Him, Father, I have sinned. He said, I want to be clean. I'm tired of living in the field. I'm tired of living the life that I'm living. I'm tired of sitting down here and being covered in swine poop. And I'm tired of being covered in sin. And I'm tired of my life not going the way that it should be. I'm out here trying to do what I think is right. And I'm out here trying to live the best life that I can live for myself, that I just ought to get to where I need to be. And I realize that I can't do it. I got to get up from this dirt, this filth, this miry clay, and I got to get going to my Father.
Amen.
But can me and you get out of the dirt and the miry clay by ourselves?
Nope.
No. You say, preacher, what are you trying to get at here? When he was cleaned up, he didn't clean himself up.
That's right.
He didn't get himself out of the swine. out of the swine pen. He needed somebody to help him up. Now, Eddie, there ain't no friends there. They done spent all his money and kicked him out. And now he's a citizen to a company that lets him sleep with the swine. And they act like everything's fine with them, but he knows in his heart that everything's not fine. So who does he want to go to? He said, I will go to my Father. Some of us need to go to the Father to get cleaned up. Because we're not going to clean ourselves up.
Amen.
We're not going to get these filthy rags of righteousness that we are cleaned up on our own. Even if you're saved today, you know that you could be living in sin.
That's right.
Jesus has saved you from all your sin, but yet you could still be living in sin. You can fall off. You are not perfect. Your name is not Jesus Christ. You are not the one who bled and died for me. There's a chance that even sometime in tomorrow or the next day or in a few years from now, that you could fall off and be eating with the swine. And then you'll come into yourself and you'll realize, I got to get clean. I can't do it on my own. I can't figure this out. I got to get clean. Solomon wrote, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Church, to be clean, you have to be willing to confess your sins to God. If you notice, the prodigal said that, he said, I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. He said, I sinned against heaven and before thee. He said, I've sinned. I've lived a sinful life. My brother is going to tell you later on down the road, man, he's lived with harlots and he's partied it up, and he lived out there drinking, having a good life, and he's done all these things. But something you got to realize is, even after all, you've done all those things. Jesus said, I'll take crimson,
amen,
and I'll mix it in with the blackness of your sin,
amen,
and I'll make it as white as snow.
Amen.
He said, can't nobody clean you up like I can clean you up.
That's right.
Let me tell y'all, Cole's one of the best housekeepers in the world. She walk in, there'll be one cup sitting on the counter, and that's considered dirty to her. I'm talking about she tries to keep everything as clean as she can. But she could never clean herself up. I could never clean myself up. And I'm one of the messiest people you'll ever meet. She cleans up behind me all the time. But she could never do what Jesus done for me.
Amen.
She could never take the blackness of sin that's been in my life and clean it up. And Cole, I can't clean yours up. I can't take your sin away from you. Only Jesus can do that.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way that, if you remember, Isaiah said that he took that crimson blood and he mixed it in. Now, only God could do something like
that. Right.
Only God could take two dark colors, such as crimson, which is a dark red, and sin, which is signified in the Bible, color is black, the blackness of sin, and take this dark red and mix it in and defy everything that man knows and make you pure and white as snow.
Amen.
When the prodigal was sitting there, he wasn't thinking no longer about where he was. He just knew where he had to get to.
Mm-hmm.
To get clean, you can know where you're at. You can know where you're standing. You can know exactly which direction you need to go. But until you are willing yourself to arise and go to the Father, you're not going to get clean.
Right.
Until you realize, I need to get to the Father. I need to get to Him. I need to get to God. I need to get to Jesus. Spirit, help me get to where I need to get to. That way I can be clean. I'm tired of living this life. I'm tired of living a life that I feel like is every day that's beating me and dragging me down. because that's not living. If you got to feel like every day that your life is literally dragging you down, that's not living.
Amen.
It's time for you to get to the Father. But he was willing to come home. He wanted to come home. Church, I live over on Wolf Island Road in Reedsville. We've turned the house into a home. But that's not home to me.
Amen.
Home to me is where God's at.
Amen.
Home to me is where Jesus is at. Home to me is where I just got to get to. And he said, and I will go before thee. We got to be wanting to go home. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
Amen.
You want to get cleaned up. You want to get right with God. You want to make your homecoming presence known. Don't worry about making it known here. It needs to be known in heaven that it was made right. You remember just a little bit earlier in this chapter, Jesus is talking about 100 sheep. And 100 sheep, one of them had went astray. And Jesus said, what do we do with it? Well, I tell you what he does with it. He goes and gets it.
That's right.
That's what he'll do for you. If you notice here, the prodigal never made it to the gate. He said, and the father saw him from afar off. And he ran to him. You know, in the Old Testament, this son would have been stoned to death at the side of the gate. That's why the father had to go to him. Me and you today deserve to be stoned to death.
Amen.
We deserve hell. We can't get to God on our own. Amen. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ that came running to us, that fell compassion on us, that fell upon us and loved us. That's why we have access to the Father's house. And we can get to the gate now. Because he allowed it. But before he allowed it, we couldn't get to the gate. If we stay in the swine, if we stay feeding with the swine and laying down with the swine, you'll never get to the gate. You've got to get out of the pit. And to get out of the pit, you got to have Jesus. To get to the gate, you got to have Jesus. For someone to find, for God to find compassion on you, you got to have Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You can't get there by yourself. You cannot get to the Father's gate by yourself. You're going to need him to meet you afar off. You're going to need him to find you. You're going to need him to see you coming. And you say, Josh, how did he know that that was his son from afar off if he couldn't see? The Bible says, and the sheep know his voice and he knows them.
Amen.
You know, hey, he don't need to see you.
That's right.
He just sees you get up out of the swine pen, and he knows you're on your way.
Right.
And he'll meet you there. You ain't got to do it by yourself. You ain't got to get through life on your own. He'll help you get all the way through it. You just got to be willing to arise and go to him. What type of love that he showed? Look at the love that he showed his son. And he said, and he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. What compassion the Father must have for us. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you, so he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you because he loves you. Now, you find a matchless love like that in this world, you got something. But guess what? You're not going to find anything to match that love that God has for you.
Amen.
He didn't give up on me when I was living in sin. When I was out here living in sin for a season and thinking that I'm enjoying and All of a sudden I find myself eating with the swine and living a sinful life. But church, I'm glad he found love and compassion on me. And some of you today better thank God that he found love and compassion on you. Amen. When you was living out in sin, when you was doing what you thought was right, that you realized one day that you was in the pen with the swine and had to be made clean. And when you couldn't get to him, he came running to you. He came running to you. Church, we are all prodigals in a way. We've all lived out in sin. Even after we're saved, if you're not, we'll get into the prodigal brother here in just a minute. And I'll let you know where he's wrong. Amen. He thought he was perfect. He wasn't. But we see here that he accepts us. He forgives us.
Amen.
I'm glad not only did he come running to me, but he opened his arms, he received me, he accepted me, and he loved me enough that he forgave me.
Amen. Some of y'all get this on the way home today.
That he loved you enough that he died for you? When he was hanging on Calvary's hill, I believe the word that he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
He said, Father, I want you to know that it's going to be okay. That exact same Father Jesus is talking about in this parable is the exact same Father he asked to forgive you when he was hanging on Calvary.
Yeah.
That's how much he accepted you. I believe the Bible says that God...
I messed up there for a second. The Bible says that even while we was living in the trespasses of our sins, Christ died for us.
Amen.
It said that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Took me a minute, but I got it to come back to my mind. But you know what Daniel 9:9 says? It says, to the Lord our God belong mercies. Not only mercies, forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him. Now, church, I don't know about you, but if God belongs mercies and he belongs forgiveness, though I've lived a rebellious lifestyle, once I get cleaned up, I should live for him. But not only today, did God not give up on him, that the prodigal had to come to his senses and get clean, and he had to find his home. He had to get home. I'm ready to get home myself, amen. But he had to get home. But and we see here there was a great celebration. You know, when Jesus saved you, he didn't leave that old nasty rowboat you did that you originally had home when you was down there eating with the swine, right? I believe the Bible says, but the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Not a robe, Brother Eddie. He didn't say bring a robe. He said bring the best one. He didn't say not only bring it and just let him look at it. He said put it on. But I was saved. I became a new creature in Christ. I had to take that old swine, filthy jacket, and I had to get rid of it. But I couldn't quite let it go. God had to take it from me. And said, now I'm going to put the best robe I had on me. He put the best robe on us. He put a ring on our hand and shoes upon my feet. He gave me the armor of God that I could withstand the wiles of the devil. He gave me a life that I could live only in Christ Jesus. Church, that's worth celebrating. The Bible says there's more rejoicing for one to come into repentance than it is for 99 to celebrate in him. It's more for one person to come back and get right with God or to get saved. And it sends heaven into the greatest celebration that you'll see on this side of eternity. But not everybody was celebrating. There was one son still in the field. This son evidently thought he was living a perfect life. He thought he didn't need any help. Thought he didn't need anything. He was one of them that says, well, I obey the laws of God. I keep thy commandments. I go to church every Sunday. I wear my dress. I wear my suit. I always look my best. I don't do anything wrong. I've been by your side. I've been in your house. I've done all these things. I stood firm. I'm not like such and such over here that fell on the wayside so many times. It's not even funny. Man, he comes back more than anybody I could realize. Then he drifts right back out on into sin. And don't nobody care about me like they do him. Well, let me tell you, prodigal's older brothers, if you're where you're supposed to be, God's not really that concerned with you right now. He loves you. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to watch over you. But he's worried about that child that's living out there in sin.
That's right.
That needs to come back. That needs to be brought back in. We need to stop worrying about what I'm doing right and trying to help the next man back up. Jesus lived a perfect life. And I don't ever remember one time in the Bible where he was worried about himself. In fact, I believe he said the foxes have their holes, the fowl of the air have their nest, but yet the Son of Man had not a place to lay his head down. But we have to realize that none of us in here are perfect. We are all prodigals. But if you're a prodigal's brother today, quit being a Pharisee. If someone walks through that door, if someone comes in that door, if someone lives in that door, you know they've lived a sinful lifestyle. Maybe they was just at the bar yesterday. Maybe they was just at the crack house. Maybe they was somewhere doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And they walk in that door and they're trying to come back to God and you push them away. You'll be the one at fault, not them.
That's right. Amen.
Because you know what he said they were celebrating for? Let me read it. I like this. He said, it was meant that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again.
Amen.
And was lost and is found. I tell you what, I don't know about you today, but I know what Paul says in Romans. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I don't know today the step you need, but the step you need to make this morning is a step towards the Father's house.
Amen.
Getting right with God. Asking God to help you out. Asking God to give you what you need. But you have to make the first step. Sometimes we just like to sit down and wait on God to come to us. We just like to sit there and act like he's going to come to us. The prodigal son could have done that. He could have sat right on down with the swine and waited for the father to come to him. The father wasn't coming nowhere near the swine. You know why? If you read it and you'll look at the Bible, he thought he was dead. He thought he was lost and dead. That he went nowhere near them. But it's when the prodigal son said, I've had enough. He stood up. Said, I'm going to my father's house. He took the first steps.
Amen.
And he got to his destination. Church, until you're willing to take the first step, you'll still be eating with the swine. But you got to be willing to take that first step. And then he, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can atone you for your sins. That old song Billy Kelly wrote, Prodigal Son. Every word of it is true. I was a prodigal son. You are a prodigal son. You just got to be willing to take that step to make everything right with God. And then as the psalmist said, he will lift you up out of the miry pit of clay and set your feet
and set your feet upon the solid rock and establish your goings. You have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I know that I'm dirty. I know that I'm filthy. I know that my sins are horrible right now. Lord, but I need you. I need you to help me out. Won't you make that step today? Won't you make that step today?
Amen. If anybody would like to come, you can come this morning.